Why does a chicken cross the street?
Because it's got the green light.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What did Julius Caesar say when Brutus stabbed him?
Ouch!
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. Another half hour in radio's biggest hatch of boobies with Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, Harry McNaughton, Don Novick's Rhythm Butchers, and the zaniest of the zanies, Tom Howard.
Thank you, Johnny, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here we are again with that quiz program that is a favorite with us so dull. We have a board so dumb they think a closed shop. First, we have to celebrate on it in a book entitled How to Flap. But here he is.
For him, Mr. Howard.
I see.
Yes. Styled, no doubt, for whenever she... very thin sideways, they'd mark her absence.
Never. Next, we have a woman who was so built for five blocks, they thought she... A woman? A woman who cast summer, the Coast Guard. But here she is, America's Miss Lulu McConnell.
Mary Kelly the other day.
Mary,
oh, her husband is so good.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. But he has washes and dishes. Washes laundry.
Wait a minute, what about...
Washes herself.
I see.
Nice.
What a maid to do that these days. Next man, who may not have been of his class, but he was a man at night to keep him from washing his face, Mr. George Shelton.
Traffic gets worse and worse and... I had a terrible time finding a...
It is. What did you finally do?
Well, I finally... Safety zone.
Oh, I see.
Safety zone. Yeah.
Very good.
Now I know the car is safe.
Yeah.
Right, either.
Won't cost you a cent.
Not a...
All right. Well, there they are, folks. Our regular, we are pleased, and author Robert Benchley. You to come.
Well, you come back.
I see.
At least I can come with a dirty shirt.
Meanwhile, speaking about a dirty shirt, I...
Shaped head you have. I just think coming to a point as it does, it would be dangerous in a thunderstorm. Are you...
He's not only insured, he's insulated.
I certainly am. I've been...
Now, wait a minute.
To see and have you tolerate me.
Look. You see, the lady sitting next to you is Miss Lulu...
Mr. Bexley, you mind if I call you Bob? You...
Am I likely to have occasion to call you...
I like him already.
All right, fine. And the gentleman, Norton.
Oh, how do you do? How do you do?
Pleasure, old boy. It's a pleasure.
McNaughton. Oh, yeah. Roland Young told me about you.
Roland Young, yes. He was on the program last week.
Yes?
We got along.
Young said you were all wet.
Now, just a minute before we start questions. Here's the first one.
Yes.
A very well-known axiom. I want you to complete. Never cross a bar me, will you please?
Finish what?
Finish the old saying.
I don't get it.
No, all right, never mind. You never do. Haven't any of you heard of the old saying that begins with...
A stitch in time saves nine.
Besides, that's the whole saying. Oh. Mr. Benchley, what have you got to say about it?
Well, I think it's fine.
You think what?
Nine is fine.
I see.
Especially for people who go around saving stitches.
Ah.
Well, you know, they do come in handy sometimes.
Oh, I don't like them.
You don't like what?
Stitches.
Stitches.
I had one in my side last
week.
Oh,
wait a minute. Cut it out, please. Never mind. Now, let's get on here. What I mean, Mr. Bench, never cross the bridge.
I think it's silly.
You, well, what's silly about it?
Well, have you ever stopped to consider how difficult it would be to go through life never crossing bridges?
I agree with you, Mr. Benchley. I agree with you all sooner or later.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and you say never cross it.
Yeah.
What must one do? I mean, just stand and stare at it?
All right.
Besides, he's right. Besides, suppose you don't cross the bridge, how are you going to get the other side of the river?
I see.
Without getting all wet.
Well, of course, you could build a tunnel.
No.
That wouldn't be practical, would it?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, that'd be all right. How about the Holland Tunnel?
The Holland Tunnel? Mr. Yeah. Shelton, the Holland Tunnel only goes under the Hudson River, do you see?
That's right.
I mean, after all, what about the other rivers?
I don't really suppose you carry the Holland Tunnel around with you, do you? It'd be too bulky.
No, that would be a little heavy.
I don't get it.
No, I should say not.
I have an idea. I have an idea. Of course, you might try building a portable tunnel, you see? You know, one that you could sort of fold up, you see? Unfold it, you know, just like a bridge table.
Just like a bridge table. I wish you would fold up. Will you guys cut it out?
You know what I think? I think a
boat? My word, you mean carry a boat around with you till you come to a bridge? Oh,
say, wait a minute. How about a barge?
Wait a minute. Leave Miss McConnell out of it, will you, please?
Who said that?
Sit down.
Well, who said it?
I said it.
Now, you all dried up piece of poker. Yeah. You're so thin you have to swallow a wallet every morning to keep your pants on.
Oh, is that so? Thank you.
You're welcome.
The question is, I want you to try and finish the old saying, never cross a bridge. I said it. I told you.
That's sillier than the first line. I mean, after all, how can you cross a bridge, old boy, if you don't come to it?
You're so right. You really are so right.
Thank you.
You can get into no end of trouble crossing bridges before you come to them, you know. That's...
Yeah. Did you ever try it, Mr. Benchley?
No, but I'll never forget the time I was driving a car. I tried to turn a corner before I came to it.
I see.
Oh, it was a terrible mistake, yeah. You know? But the owner of the hardware store was very nice about it. He sued me for only $20,000.
All right, never mind, please.
I don't get it.
Miss McConnell, what is it you don't get?
What's all this got to do with the question?
What question?
The one about a stitch in time saves nothing.
Ah, cut it out. Well, you're about to use.
Something. Who are these two normal people sitting over here?
Normal?
Well, they're two people with heads.
Oh, I see. Well, I see what you mean, Mr. Benchley. You see, this is the part of the program where we invite people from the audience. We have invited two people up from the audience to help us out. They can ask the experts a question. If they get an intelligent answer, we give them 1,000 shares of American Tell and Tell. If they don't, we just give them one of Miss McConnell's old discarded girdles. Who is the first contestant, Mr. Roberts?
Our first contestant, Mr. Howard, is Private Nick Scarrow of the United States Infantry.
Oh, that's swell. Good evening, Private Scar. This is indeed a pleasure, and thank you a lot for coming up here. Where are you from? I mean your hometown. Would you care to tell us?
Rahway, New Jersey.
Rahway, New Jersey. Well, you're right, quite at home here.
Rahway, New Jersey. Well, waltz me around and call me Willie.
Yeah.
You know, I used to work in that town.
Yeah, you're having trouble with that left tonsil.
Yeah, I was a surgeon in a bakery shop.
You were a surgeon in a bakery shop?
Yeah, I used to make the incisions in the jelly donuts.
Look, please. Will you kindly pay a little attention to our guest here?
Certainly, Mr. Howard. What was the question?
What was the question? Mr. Sheldon, are you an imbecile?
That's a good question. Who sent that in?
Attention to them, Private Scar. How long have you been in the service?
6 months, sir.
Oh, 6 months. Fine. What did you do before you entered the service?
I was a printer.
A printer? You were a printer and...
Well, that's a setup.
Never mind the setup.
You know, I remember the time I was in the last war, yes. Well, do I remember it. The sergeant said to me, remember, your rifle is your best friend. Treat it tenderly, you see, just as you would your wife. Uh-huh. Every morning, wipe it off with an oily rag.
With an oily rag.
He told me that.
I'll have to try that on my wife.
Yes.
Yeah, if she gets up oily.
She gets up oily. All right, please. Never mind the Brooklyn accent. Let's get on here, please. Just let us ignore them, Private. As I said before, we're very, very happy to have you with us.
Yeah, what's your first name, honey?
Nick.
Nick?
Nick. Oh, that's a cute name, isn't it?
Yeah, cute name.
Oh, that's
Nick.
Coming.
All right.
He's a cute kid, too, eh?
Yeah, he's a very nice little boy.
Well, you can just call me Coffee.
Yeah.
I'm so strong and stimulating.
I am that. You're also weak in the bean, if I may. Nick, will you reach into the dunce cap there and help us out by picking out a question, if you will, please?
Sure.
And when you get a hold of one, would you kindly read it for us right into the microphone there in front of you? Just take your time and read the question.
In what ceremony is a wedding ring used?
Thank you a lot. In what ceremony? Please, no coaxing from the audience, please. In what ceremony is a wedding ring used? Did you hear that question, Mr. Benchley?
Certainly. What do you think I am?
I see. That's a $64 question right there. I just asked you, did you hear the question?
I heard it. It was something about a wedding ring, wasn't it?
That's right.
Well, what about a wedding ring? Who lost it?
Who lost it? Nobody lost it. Look, let me give you the question once again. In what ceremony do they use a wedding ring? Let me help you. You're married, aren't you, Miss McConnell?
Certainly I'm married.
Fine.
You think the scar over my eye is a birthmark?
I would say. All right, you say you're married. Tell me something. What do you wear on your left hand?
A glove.
A glove. What's on your third finger?
A hole in the glove.
A hole in the glove. The question deals with the institution of marriage.
Anyone who gets married should be in an institution.
I'll never forget when my old man was courting me. He told me I was the most beautiful, sweetest, and most interesting girl he ever knew.
And you married him after he deceived you like that?
A friend of mine got married last week. Little Sidney, yes. Now he's taking French lessons.
You mean he married a French girl?
No, you see, he talks in his sleep and he doesn't want his wife to know what he's saying.
You know, in India, a man doesn't see his wife until after he's married.
Same thing in Brooklyn.
Marriage is a wonderful thing. No family should be without it.
No family should be. Can we please get on with the question? In what ceremony do they use a wedding ring? Look, when two people are getting married, what does the minister ask for?
$2.
Mr. Betsy, when you got married, did they throw rice at you?
Yes, but they made a pudding of it first. How did you meet your husband, Miss McConnell?
Well, he walked into a pool room, and there I was.
Where, in a pool room?
Yes, I was playing pool with Mike Kelly.
I say Kelly Pool, huh?
Kelly Pool. Oh, please. Oh, Kelly Pool.
Love that
well,
man.
I'll never forget the night my husband proposed to me if I live to be 100.
Well, you only have a few more weeks to go.
He got out on one knee, rested his head on the curb.
Wait a minute. Rested his head on the curb?
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve. Yeah. That was as high as he could get his head.
I am not going to take this. Awful.
I had an awful time before I married my old man.
You had an awful time.
Yep.
What was the trouble?
Well, I wouldn't marry him when he was drunk.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't marry me when he was sober.
Now, to sort of break the monotony, ladies and gentlemen, we will hear from Dr. Novick and his orchestra, who have just completed a successful engagement at the Chicago Stockyards. Listen and get a whiff of this music. Dr. Novick. Well, they're off already.
Should go back in the stockyards, too.
That's what I like, Gilbert and Sullivan.
Sounds like Hart, Schaffner, and Marx to me.
Must suit you, huh?
They finally found their place. Song is starting a winner. Balmy summer evening and a goodly crowd was there. But well, that makes me feel like we're sighting. Thank you. program. Who is our next guest, Mr. Roberts?
Our next guest, Mr. Howard, is Sergeant Johnny Newsom of the United States Army Air Corps.
Well, how do you do? This is indeed a pleasure, Sergeant Newsom. We're very glad to have you with us, and thanks a lot for coming up. How do you feel?
Fine, thank you.
That's fine. You certainly do look it. Certainly, it's a pleasure to have you here this evening.
Oh, yes, how do you do? It's a pleasure having you in the evening.
All right.
You look so charming, so sweet, so demure.
All right, Mr. McNaughton, will you kindly draw in your fangs, please?
Mr. McNaughton, you're quite a ladies' man.
Oh, rather, yes. Wherever I go, women scream.
What do you use, mice?
Pay no attention to Miss Newsom. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. Right. Nice town for Birmingham.
Fine.
You know, Mr. Howard, she's the kind of a girl I'd like to take home to mother.
I see.
If I could trust the old man.
All right. Miss Newsom, may I ask, what is your work in the service?
Well, I'm here recruiting women for the Women's Army Corps, Wainwright Company.
Oh, for the Wainwright Company.
That's right.
Oh, yes, I read it. That is marvelous. Well, lots of success to you. You girls are certainly doing a great job.
Girls are different since I was a boy. I remember I used to go courting my girl with a lantern.
With a lantern? I always courted my wife in the dark.
Yeah, and look what you got.
Mr. Howard, I saw a sailor today, and a soldier.
Yeah,
and he had two stars on his shoulder.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean?
What, you don't know what that means?
No.
Oh, that means he's got two sons in the service.
And we should have lunch out there and pick out a question for us, please. And would you be kind enough to read the question, if you will, right into the microphone, please?
Who painted Whistler's mother?
That's very good. Who painted Whistler's mother?
You
now, let's give this question a little consideration.
You mean, Mr. Howard, someone has painted with their mother?
Oh.
That's shocking.
Must have been some devilish kid.
Yeah, okay.
If I was his mother, I'd wallop him.
Well, this is all very silly. Whistler's mother's on a canvas.
So what? My mother's on a diet.
Look, please, I'm talking about art.
Art who?
Artesian.
Oh, I know Artesian well.
He knows Artesian well.
I can bite my tongue out.
Mr. Bentley, I'm really surprised at you.
Oh, I have my silly moments.
Do any of you know the answer?
Now, let me see. Artesian well.
Yes.
No, it's too deep for me.
Too deep. The question is, who painted Whistler's mother? It's the work of a great artist, Whistler's mother.
Would that be the same gentleman that had the dog?
Well, what dog?
Well, I really don't know what dog it was. It seems to me there was a fellow by the name of Whistler who had a dog.
Mr. Bensley, what you have in mind is a musical composition of Whistler and his dog.
Did he have a mother?
Did he have a mother?
Who, the dog?
No, the Whistler.
Well, I wouldn't want to have you quote me on this, but I think he did have a mother.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for that information. I'm glad to know that Whistler's dog had a mother. Wait a minute. This is all beside the point.
I love dogs. Do you have a dog, Mr. Benchley?
Oh, yes. In fact, I have a very, very nice dog. I play checkers with him every night.
Wait, you play checkers with your dog?
My word, he must be a very smart dog.
Oh, he's not so smart. Last night, I beat him 2 games out of 3.
The question is not about dogs. Do any of you know anything about art? Have you ever been to the art museum?
Oh, I go up to the art museum every Sunday.
Oh, fine. Now, what do you go up to the art museum for?
I have the peanut concession outside.
I see. Right. Mr. Sheldon, you're a moron of the first water.
You're quite a drip yourself.
Thank you.
You know, I bought a bird dog once.
Yeah.
But he was no good.
Oh, dear, the bird dog was no good.
No. I took him home, put him in a cage, and he wouldn't sing a note.
Miss McConnell, I hated you 2 years before I met you. Now, let's get on here.
Now, you take that other dog of mine. That other dog. There was a smart dog.
Oh, yeah.
He was with Admiral Byrd when he went to the South Pole. In fact, my dog reached the pole first.
Your dog reached the pole. Can we answer the question, please?
That was another dog I had. Oh,
another
I've
dog you
never
had.
Seen a dog like him, like that other. He had only one eye in the center of his head.
One eye in the center of his head?
Did they tell me his mother was scared by a motorcycle? Now, did you believe it?
Never mind, Mr. Bensley. I don't want to hear no more about your dog. Mr. Bensley, do you realize you haven't made an attempt to answer any question all evening?
I'll never forget one dog I had. Every morning, the first thing, you go down to the corner fruit store, take an apple off the stand and eat it.
Oh. Didn't the man stop him?
No, he was a police dog. Oh.
He was a police
dog. You know, I had a police dog once. He was only that size, just 6 inches.
Oh, Mr. Sheldon, that's much too small for the police dog.
He was in the Secret Service.
Ah, the Skater's Waltz. I've never heard it played like this before.
No, nobody else did either. Wherever it carries you to, I hope it leaves you there.
Player is wonderful. I love his Fritzy Carter.
Yeah, somebody ought to cut it out. There's nothing the matter with your radio, folks. The drummer just dropped his bridge work. Thank you, I says. All right, thanks. Thank you, Dr. Noble. Ladies and gentlemen. Please. Now, the old clock on the wall tells us it's time for me to thank our good friend, Mr. Benchley, for spending his valuable time here with us. It was fun having him, and thank you a lot, Robert Benchley.
Oh, it was nothing at all, Mr. Howard. I was glad I was able to answer the questions for you.
How do you like that?
Tomorrow night.
Why, Miss McConnell, I'd be delighted.
Well, you just name the place and I'll be there.
Oh,
as I was walking down the avenue, I met a funny fellow with a funny point of view. He didn't have a brain cell working in his head, but he was very happy, and this is what he said. It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant.
What do you think of that? It pays
to be ignorant just like me. It's best not to know too much. Be a dope, your IQ shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much. Wait and see. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful feast. They had to give my girl the check because I couldn't read. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be insane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
clang, clang.